Well, what do y'all want to do?
Finish Galatians.
Finish Galatians. Want to look at the very last vet verse in Galatians, Rob?
Did we not finish Galatians?
We had the last. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that you will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. That's an interesting statement. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but the desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one curse or no one cause trouble for you, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. You know, that's Galatians 6:11 and following. He says, you know, see with what large letter I'm writing to you with my own hand. And that, you know, has brought a lot of, you know, intrigue with that. Is, you know, that an indication of his, you know, age and eyesight? Is that due to a problem? But, you know, it's generally accepted that letters, especially like Galatians stuff, that, you know, that there was a scribe that, you know, this seems to be indicating, you know, he didn't personally write, you know, with pen and paper write. It was dictated. But yet there's a signature here. So, you know, so here he's writing it. But I think verse 12 is just so fascinating. For those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And so there's, you know, and then you put in the next verse, for those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but the desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. So there seems to be a twofold motivation by, you know, if we were the legalist here. One is that if everybody just does this, then it, you know, we just don't have as many conflicts, and so it keeps us from having to make that distinction. You know, so he's saying, so they do it so that they won't be persecuted. So, you know, if we can just say to everybody, I mean, you know, you can pick whatever it is. You know, today, you know, we could pick something else, but you know, you can pick something that's popular to be against. That's just kind of a general Christian thing, you know, kind of generally accepted, you know. And, you know, whatever that is, that you don't, you know, it used to be that you didn't, you know, wouldn't do anything on Sunday, or it could be you don't drink, or, you know, whatever that is, and you say, well, if everybody just goes along with that, then it's, you know, makes it simpler. And in one sense, that's true, and one way that's a good thing to do. But then on the other hand, if the whole thing is so that we're not creating any confusion, and we're not explaining anything, then we fail behind here. But then the other thing, we're at the end of Galatians 6, verse 13. It says, for those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but the desire to have you circumcised so that you may boast in your flesh. That's, I think, what you start to see is that with legalists, and we could do this tonight, you know, I mean, I don't think people set out to do it, but essentially what happens is let's discuss tonight the things we don't do. You know, let's talk about, you know, the things you shouldn't do, which ones of those don't we do? So, you know, we don't. Whatever. We don't run stop signs. None of us run stop signs. So Christians shouldn't run stop signs, you know. You know, we go through yellow lights, so we won't say anything about it. We won't say it's okay to go through yellow lights, but we just won't. But we'll say you shouldn't run stop signs or red lights. You know, we drive 5 miles over the speed limit, so we're not going to say anything about the speed limit. But we don't drink alcohol, so we're going to say it's wrong to drink alcohol. You know, I don't think anybody sits down and makes rules like that, but effectively that's what happens. It's the things you don't do that becomes those things in a church that become, this is spirituality. But there's all these other things, and it's like, well, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. Now, you could list all these things people do. You could say, well, yeah, you're right. I went to the R-rated movie. And, you know, I know that's tabooed here, but, you know, you scream a lot, and you seem to be mad a lot, and, well, that doesn't matter. See, you know, it's this make and shift, and that's, you know, obviously Paul's not talking about the same thing I am in terms of immediate, but yet application, that's what it is, you know. They have said, this is what you have to do to be a Christian, but they don't keep the law. They took one part of the law and said, this is what you have to do to be a Christian, but they don't keep the law. Now, most Christian circles, it's not about the gospel of being a Christian. It's more about spirituality. Now, there are some, it's about being a Christian. You know, if you're not baptized, you can't be a Christian. You know, of course, they're going to set that up as an extra rule, not necessarily the law, but it starts to fall into those things. You know, well, why is it you have to be baptized? Well, because Christ said so. Oh, so we have to do everything that Christ said to be a Christian. Well, no, that wouldn't work. So, I mean, where do you draw that line, you know, sometimes? And it becomes hard, but it's interesting. There's this twofold, and they both become about, you know, out there, not them. And that's the whole thing about legalists. It's not me. I'm always okay. It's you that are at fault. You're always at fault. And because it doesn't impound me. Then he says, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you start to see, now that changes things. You know, if the heart of spirituality is what Christ has done for me and my response to it. Now we know from Galatians, we know from definitely from other his writings that that it's not in Romans specifically, in Ephesians, that you know, you're never at a point of saying, well, Christ died for me, God is gracious, so it doesn't matter what I do. But you're back into, what are you going to boast in? Are you going to boast in that you keep the law? You know, I'm so spiritual because I don't do this. Here's this list of don'ts. I don't do any of those. That's why I'm spiritual. Or is it because of the cross of Christ? And so he's saying, if I'm going to boast, that's what I will boast in. Jeremiah says what? You know, if you're going to boast, you boast in that you know the Lord. You know what I mean? It's that, you know, don't boast in your riches, but boast in that you know the Lord. And he goes on, he says, in his explanation of that, he says, for through, you know, I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And so, kind of uses that, you know, Christ was crucified, but yet kind of changes the view of being crucified here, obviously. You know, the world has been crucified to me. That is, the world has become dead to me, and I've become dead to the world. Now, that's a kind of another way of saying what John was saying, that I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. You know, Paul's saying, you know, the world is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world, but yet, you know, he doesn't mean that in a total literal sense, because he lives in the world. But his motivation isn't about the world, and that's, you know, those are easy words to read, and then you start thinking about it, and it's pretty phenomenal. I'm not, you know, I mean, how do you get there and, you know, stay there all the time, because we're just, you know, we have so much that we interact with and our plans, and so how do you, you know, is there a place for planning for the future? And if so, how do you do that in such a way that you're not, you know, that you could say, hey, I've died to the world and the world's dead to me, but yet you know, I represent Christ here. And, you know, Paul would, you know, he says in Philippians, you know, hey, if it's up to me, I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord right now. But, you know, it may be his desire for me to stay here to have an impact. So, you know, Paul has, you know, those areas that go on that almost seem conflicting at times. He says in verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision. See, that, you know, we're going to make all of this out of, you know, if I do this, I'm spiritual, or if I do this, that puts me in this standard of God. And he's going, hey, neither one of them is anything. Because the whole thing about Christianity in the post-cross world is that you're a new creation. See, in the Old Testament, Israel had a covenant relationship with God. Gentiles could enter into that protection in a way. They could come into that by being under Israel. But as we move into the New Testament, that has changed. Jew and Gentile are one. They're a new creation. It's not, you know, Israel in that relationship to God as a covenant nation and and Gentiles coming along and entering into that. But now it's the church, and Jew and Gentile are one. Here, the way Paul refers to it is that they're a new creation. Yet, he goes on, he says, and those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. You know, that is such an unusual phrase here, and I don't think we find it anywhere else in that, you know, New Testament sense. So obviously, if you're an all millennialist, if you believe that the church is just an extension of Israel, you look at this and you say, see, he's just saying the church is the Israel of God. But, you know, if you looked at that looking at the Old Testament and New Testament, and saying the church is not replacing Israel, the church is distinct from Israel, that here we just see another description of the church, not a replacement of Israel, but he's already been talking about there's a new creation. You know, in that sense, calling the Israel of God, but not that the church is the extension of Israel, but that the church is that spiritual, physical descendants. They are, you know, the church is, you know, while not receiving the promises of Israel, not the covenant nation of Israel, the church is a reflection in the sense that it's still God's chosen group, his people. And so I think he's using that phrase in that sense. He goes on in verse 17 and says, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me. I don't know. Maybe I should have preached that verse a few times in my life. Said, this is the text. You know, maybe that's, you know, when I went to South Dakota, maybe that should have been my first sermon. For now, let no one cause trouble for me. But I don't know that I would have been able to support this last part as well. For I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. I mean, this is what we've seen with Paul earlier in this, in Galatians, that's, you know, kind of interesting. There are times that Paul, you know, he's downplaying things, but then other times he says, but wait, you know, I have been there. I have done things. And so here are these, you know, people are trying to set themselves up as super apostles and claiming all these things. And Paul says, hey, you know, I've paid a price. Now, he's not trying to say I'm a super Christian of that, but in the sense of people saying, oh, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about, or Paul's not dedicated, or Paul, and Paul's saying, hey, you know, yeah, I've stood up for Christ and even taken on this battle. And so he says that there. Then it ends with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. So, you know, as we, if we could remember, I can't remember that well, but if we could remember back over the study in Galatians that it's gone through these series of arguments that all result with, or all come from, a group that have tried to put the law, place the law back in people's lives, but yet they don't live under the law themselves, but they try to put the law on others as a means to spirituality. This is what you have to do. These are the requirements for you. And it had moved away from some that had, like with Peter, that had embraced grace, had been so influenced that, you know, in the past he had moved away, and Paul is addressing that. And not that this is immediately with Peter, but it's flowing out of that same concept that people have been caught up into this, been influenced by those that would come along and say, if you're going to say that you're dedicated, then you better be up at 3:30 in the morning studying the Bible for 30 minutes, because that's what you do. And if you don't do that, then you don't really love the Lord. I mean, you know, it comes in different forms, different fashions. And Paul is saying, no, it's about Jesus. It's about the cross. And as he says it here, hey, if you're going to boast in anything, boast in the cross of Christ. Well, your thoughts or insights or questions?
Fall under the category if I'm making something up. But I sort of remember, and I can't remember if it was actually circumcision or circumcision was used as another possible example, but where Paul was in a different circumstance, Paul was telling somebody, go ahead and have it done.
Yeah.
So just for the peace, you know, but it wasn't them saying, you have to do this to be a believer.
Yeah, was it? Is it Titus? So Titus, because Titus was, see, like what? Now, Timothy was of mixed, right?
Yeah.
And Titus was Jewish. And so when they were going back to Jerusalem, it would be in that sense to avoid, you know, to avoid this controversy, basically,
yeah.
You know.
But it was Timothy that was told.
So I think it's Titus.
Titus was already
Jewish. I think that's it, but I'm not.
I think that's
it. Could be, it could be half, but it was in,
yeah. Here.
And I think the difference could be, let's think of it from a standpoint of evangelism. And, you know, I think our first Sunday here, and Robin's told some people this, is like our first Sunday here, I think it was Penny stood up, you know, for announcements and said, you know, everybody's invited to so-and-so place. We're going to go dancing. And so if you were going to go to South Dakota to a Mennonite Brethren church to, you know, to evangelize, and I mean that community, not to that church, but I mean in that kind of a community, and your purpose would go there to evangelize or go there to work on some doctrinal issues, you know, get it solved, then to agree that we're not going to go dancing while we're there would be a wise thing to do. Because if you did that, you're never going to get in the door. Though, if you were there as a pastor and you were wanting to teach about grace, you would use that as an illustration of that's not spirituality. I think that's a difference here. You know, with that. That's how I would approach that, is that if we were going somewhere as an evangelist, then some of those things that are accepted in that culture, then we want to, I mean, we don't lie, but we want to, kind of what Paul says. It, yeah, and what Paul says somewhere, you know, I'll become, well, how does he put that? I'll become anything to anyone to, you know, for the sake of the gospel. Well, we know that he doesn't mean he's going to compromise his integrity, but in terms of, hey, if they eat fish and I hate fish, hey, I'm going to eat fish. If that's an issue there. But I think if Paul went there and was there teaching for a while, he would point out that eating fish doesn't make you spiritual. And, you know, at some point he'd quit eating fish because he didn't like fish, you know, whatever. I mean, that's a pretty weird example. But I think that's the difference in that. And I think, you know, and I think those are hard ones because, you know, Paul in Romans, Galatians, it talk, or in Corinthians, where it's talking about spirituality, it says, you know, the weaker brother, you don't want to cause the weaker brother to sin. And so here we are in that dilemma that if I do this, then I'm going to cause people to sin. So I don't do that. But yet at the same time, in a maturity sense, somewhere along the line, you have to talk about it that actually isn't sin. And so, you know, what is your purpose? So if my purpose is I just want my own way, then you cause people to sin. You're just self-concerned. But at some point where you say, I'm concerned about you to grow, then we have to talk about this so you won't be the weaker brother. Yeah. Yeah, so it's, you know, so I think that in, along those lines would be where Paul was at, because he knew that this wasn't going to, if I take you there, it's not going to go well. And I don't know, you know, I had explained to me that, you know, because it's this weird thing is like, well, how does anybody know you're circumcised anyway? I mean, you know, but that, you know, all these, the public baths. And so that would be, you know, the cultural of, you know, so that would make, you know, where that would become more obvious. But because that always seems weird to me. It's like, hey, why do we go around it? Why do we go around, you know, announcing these things if it upsets people, you know, but. Yeah. So his choice is either be circumcised or don't take a bath while we're in Jerusalem. You know, it's your choice. Yeah. Anything else?